The following is a class given by His Holiness Jaya Pataka Swami Maharaj on December 14th, 1982 in Honolulu, Hawaii.
To the west to try to get purified by participating in the marathon. Actually, we know that there were three things that Prabhupada liked most of all. He said that he specifically liked like is not the right word because I can't think of the proper adjective at this moment. But that he held above all other things. First thing was distributing his big books, getting his books distributed. Second was, another thing was his projects in India. And then one other thing was preaching in communist and Muslim countries. High risk preaching. These were the very dear types of preaching to Srila Prabhupada. So, we've had some experience with the Indian projects and with some communist and Muslim preaching, but we hadn't recently, because when I was in America, there were no big books, so we just had Back to Godhead and a few things like that up to 1970 when I went to India. So this will be a nice experience, trying to help the distributors. Anyway, I asked Narahari Maharaj what I should speak on tonight. He said, well, we have the Panchatattva. We should say something about, we haven't heard anything about Gadadhar or Srivas very much. So of course, that won't directly be about book distribution, but I asked him whether I should talk about how Gadadhar Prabhu met his guru. Pandarik Bidtinidhi, he said he didn't think that he ever heard about that. So I could say that. Because actually, I just came, probably it's fresh in my mind, because I just came from Bangladesh, which is the birthplace of Pundarik Bidyanidhi. He's the third branch of Lord Chaitanya's tree, I believe. and he's very, I forget if he's the third or seventh, but anyway, he's one of the major branches. And he was born near Chittagong, which is the far border of Bengal. And what was very nice is that the local residents of that place who were managing the temple, I brought pictures, I saw Raghav Prabhu, we have some pictures, it's just the temple they built. They have completed their temple. So they gave the whole property over to our ISKCON front organization there. And they're cooperating a lot for developing that as a very nice Krishna conscious center. There are 2,000-3,000 people just there for a festival. So, actually in ISKCON then, we are hoping that in the future there'll be, we'll be able to bring many devotees over when we have the festival. For some Panda, we'll fly them over to Chittagong. Because, one person who had just, left his body, who helped to catalyze this whole thing. He had a vision that people will be coming from all over the world to see Pundarik Dham. So, actually, it'll be nice to bring in the devotees into this Muslim country. In that little corner, there's a very ideal situation that, in spite of being a Muslim country, that's the most concentrated place of Hindus, and all the Hindus are basically devotees of Lord Chaitanya, 90%. About 35% Hindu population and 10% Buddhist. So the Muslim fanaticism is a little reduced in that part of Bangladesh. So it's a good place, and if you bring in devotees to see as a place of pilgrimage, then even the Muslims can appreciate as tourism. So anyway, that's not really to do with the history. History, it goes back, of course, 500 years, when Lord Chaitanya was in Navadvip. And you know that Gadadhar was a lifelong brahmachari, very strict, very austere. And he was a Brahmin, he was a student, he was a scholar, but he was engaged in different type of devotional services. So there he was engaged in Navadvip. He was a little younger. Srivas was older. And one day at Srivas Angan, Lord Chaitanya was dancing kirtan. Suddenly, he looked towards the east and he started to cry out, Pundarik! 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 And he started feeling ecstatic symptoms. And the devotees, you know, gathered around him. No one knew who he was talking about. And suddenly, you know, he stopped calling out and he started the kirtan up again. Later on, someone asked, who is Pundarik? And Lord Chaitanya said, he's a great devotee. He's coming, he's coming. You'll be able to see him. So there are references in Chaitanya Bhagavad at different places how Lord Chaitanya had a great esteem for Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi himself, actually he was, you know, they're called Zamindar. Means like, kind of like a king, sub-king, big landlord, much land. So he was in that type of family, so he had, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a magistrate, he was a landlord. He was not landlord like a little apartment building, but over, you know, a whole state. So it's this like a type of king. Like a, maybe in Europe they would call a duke or an earl or something like that. He was of that type of social standing. He was very high standing. But he was a pure devotee of Krishna. So naturally when he was moving about to maintain certain social requirements, he had to dress nicely and he carried himself in a certain way, but he always wore tilak and neck beads and he was doing worship and he organized in such a way that even today, after 500 years, even in spite of the Mohammedan rule in that area, all the people are very devoted to Lord Chaitanya. So that, definitely that tradition, because Narottam Das Thakur preached in North Bengal, and his followers went to as far as Manipur. But specifically, Pundarik and other great devotees, they were preaching in the southern Burmese border of Bengal. And we have to give them the maximum credit for the fact that Krishna consciousness is still established there amongst the followers of Vedic civilization. So, Mukunda Datta and Vasudev Datta were born within a half a mile of Pundarik Vidyanidhi's birthplace, all in the same area. So, when Pundarik actually came to Navadvip, Mukunda, who was one of the kirtan members in Lord Chaitanya, we sing Kipo Jayo Jayo in the RT, there's Mukunda Vasudeva, Basu Gosha Adhikari, others. So, this Mukunda was one of the intimate devotees of Lord Chaitanya. He's also a little older, not so much older, little older, but he was almost a contemporary with Gadadhar. So, in terms of age and otherwise, So when Pundarik came, then he told Gadadhar, there's a great devotee come, why don't you come and meet Pundarik? So there was some, because Lord Chaitanya had mentioned his name, and Gadadhar was always anxious to meet the devotees and serve the Vaishnavas and to get their association and hear from them. So he said, yes, why not? Of course, this is a good opportunity for me. And the Pundarik, when he would travel around, as I mentioned, he was, you know, a little opulent. So when Gadadhar, who was very austere brahmachari, when he went to see Pundarik Vidyaniti with Mukunda, and he went into the place, he had bought a house in Navadvip so he could be there near Lord Chaitanya. He came in and he, you know, paid his obeisances. He looked around, and there he saw that there were big brass lamps, very opulent brass, golden polished, you know, lamp, ghee lamps, and silken wall hangings. And he was seated on a big, there was a big cushion, all silk, and there were two people fanning him with chamaras. He was decked out in, you know, really fancy silks, and someone was putting scented oil in his hair. And he was sitting there chanting japa. So Gadadhar looked around and saw the whole situation and thought, you know, and then Mukunda, meanwhile, was introducing that this is Gadadhar, one of the, you know, devotees of Lord Chaitanya. This is Pundarik Vidyaniti. This there was an introducing. In the meantime, Gadadhar was thinking that, well, maybe it's not really that, you know, pure of a devotee. And maybe he's like a little materialistically attached or something. Seems to be a little bit overboard. And he had some like little doubt came in his mind, you know, when he saw the, it was really opulent situation, you know, rings and everything. So, I mean, he started getting a little doubtful that maybe I wasn't brought really to the right place that I expected. You see, some doubt came in there. But so Mukunda, now Mukunda is very expert. The whole thing about Mukunda, why they always glorify Mukunda in the kirtan, is because he was expert at realizing the mood of the devotees. Just like someone who serves prasad, you always see the senior devotees serve prasad in Lord Chaitanya's group, because knowing which prasad the devotees want at what time, it's very, you have to be sensitive. A person's thinking about when I'm going to eat, then he's not going to be able to serve. You have to be thinking about, you know, how to serve the others. So in the same way, Mukunda was a kirtan singer, that he would pick up the mood of Lord Chaitanya, pick up the mood of the devotees, and then when he would insert in within the Harinam certain tune or a certain bhajan which was just tuned to the mood of Lord Chaitanya, which would increase his rasa, you know, so many times. And that's why he was very, very prominent in all the kirtan, because he was very sensitive to the mood of the different devotees. So he could immediately pick up the mood of Gadadhar was coming already, and I could see that it wasn't, you know, that faith wasn't flowing. He was being, you know, bewildered by the superficial vision. So then Mukunda, he immediately said, well, you know, Pundarik, he has a very strong attachment for Lord Krishna. And then he just, you know, immediately starts singing a bhajan, quoting from the Sanskrit, from the Bhagavatam, about the pastime of Putana, how Putana was delivered. And when you heard this before I told this? And when he started to describe that Leela, how Putana had come, put poison on her breast, came to and took the baby Krishna to kill him. And then Krishna instead said, oh, this is my mother, and then elevates her to the position in Vaikuntha of being a mother of Krishna, and then started glorifying Krishna in this way. As soon as he started to glorify, at that time, immediately Pundarik, he became so mad for Krishna. He said, I am so fallen. Oh Krishna, you are so kind, even you're delivering Putana, you're delivering the witch, And I'm so rotten, I'm so, and then he started ripping his clothes and pounding and rolling. He completely went mad. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, we always say about Sahaja, but he was the real thing. It was praying bhakti. It was completely, he just went mad right on the spot, ripping and rolling around. And he became completely just filled with devotion and humility and everything in relation to Krishna so intensely that he was beating himself and ripping his cloth off and knocking the things over, and just he became, because Mukunda kept, you know, pounding it further and further, one more slok, one more thing of glorifying Krishna's mercy, thinking, I have no appreciation for Krishna, I have no devotion for Krishna, and he was just, you know, getting out of it, to finally, you know, Mukunda then like let it cool down, you know, before it was... Once, as soon as he heard about Krishna, he could see immediately Pundarik was locked in. There was not another thought, there was not, he just became completely absorbed in that. And then Gadadhar was something. Did I make a mistake? I mean, I completely misunderstood this person. I mean, this person is because he could see that he was completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that the external thing had nothing to do with his real, where his mind was completely in Krishna consciousness. But so in this way, Gadadhar was feeling that I committed a Vaishnava aparad. I came in here without even, just seeing his superficial, without knowing who he was, without, I just merely judged him on the basis of his superficial situation. Now I'm guilty of Vaishnava aparad. I'm not going to get Krishna prema. I'm not going to get devotion. I'm not going to be able to advance in Krishna consciousness. How to rectify this? He was thinking like that. He told Mukunda that I made this offense. Actually, I was doubting Pundarik Vidyanidhi, but I could see that he was actually... Of course, in Krishna consciousness, we don't stress these... What happened was that in the pure devotees of Lord Chaitanya, these type of manifestations of Krishna prema were quite evident. Then what happened, unscrupulous people, later on, they would imitate those real symptoms. Without real symptoms, they would imitate these symptoms to get cheap followers. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada, other, they had to stress to not look at these symptoms anymore because of this tendency now as Kali Yuga's advanced to try to imitate them, to look rather at anubhavas. Other symptoms mentioned, Chaitanya and Charanamrita, which are like always being engaged in Krishna consciousness, always being enthusiastic to serve Krishna, being completely absorbed in preaching, in serving things. There are other anubhavas, not wasting any time, not being attached when you lose something materially, or becoming over-elated when you gain something materially. Things like, there's certain different symptoms that are there called anubhavas, which are recommended we should be more conscious of. Nonetheless, these other symptoms, Gadadhar was a very advanced devotee. He could tell if someone was putting on something. So this was a complete spontaneous reaction. So he was telling Mukunda that I committed some offense. I was doubting Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Actually, I see he's very attached to Krishna. And, I mean, he's a pure devotee, but I was seeing the material situation. For some reason, Krishna has given him this opulence and he's using it in the service of Krishna. But I doubted him now how to get out of this offense. I'm thinking maybe the only way I can get out of the offense is if he accepts me as a disciple. Because a guru never takes offense from a disciple very easily. Easily forgives the disciple. So maybe if I... How am I going to get out of this? Then maybe this is one way I can get out of the offense, is if I accept initiation from him. Then that offense will be negated. That'll be a way of establishing my relationship in such a way. So, Mukunda, or actually maybe, I don't know if he said it at that moment or that was the first, but somewhere he first told Mukunda that he made the offense, and somewhere he got the idea that I maybe should take initiation. as one way of getting out of the offense. And then Mukunda mentioned to him, to Pundarik, that he was doubting you something, but please you forgive him, and maybe you should give him your shelter. Pundarik wasn't very interested, but he didn't take any offense. So then later, Mukunda approached Lord Chaitanya. Actually, Pundarik Vidyaniri came and Lord Chaitanya embraced him and was welcoming and introduced him to all the devotees and brought him right into the Sankirtan party at Srivasa's house. At that time, Mukunda told about this little pastime and how Gadadhar was having some doubt and then how he committed this mental offense, and he was thinking maybe he should accept Pundarik as his guru. What did Lord Chaitanya think? Lord Chaitanya said, "Very good. This is my complete blessing." And immediately on the spot, Lord Chaitanya arranged initiation jagya ceremony, and Pundarik Vidyaniri initiated Gadadhar Prabhu. And actually, Pundarik Vidyaniri is Brishabhanu, Raja in Krishna Leela, the father of Radharani. So the father of Radharani in Krishna Leela became Guru Pita, or Guru Father, Prabhupada. When he wrote in his passport and when he wrote on the land deeds in Mayapur when we purchased, he would write father, he would put Guru Pita. Pita, of course, everyone means father. He put Guru Pita, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So in that sense, and he'd also always say that you're spiritual, I'm your spiritual father, you're my spiritual sons and daughters. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya, we see that in his pastime, Lord Chaitanya, how the relationship of either father and Radharani or Guru Pita and a disciple, that the same relationship is being maintained in the different pastimes. So of course, Gadadhar Prabhu is so exalted that, of course, as an example, he's accepting a spiritual master. Everyone needs a spiritual master, just like Krishna himself gave the example, Lord Chaitanya gave the example. But we know that Gadadhar Prabhu is actually Nitya Siddha, Nitya Parshad, his eternal associate. So this is more of a formality. It is already perfected soul, completely fixed in his Sarupa Siddhi or in the realization of his eternal relationship with Krishna. But for the sake of example, he's accepting a spiritual master, and that spiritual master in Lord Chaitanya Leela is the same as Brishabhanu was in Krishna Leela. All the main associates of Lord Krishna again have come in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. You see, this is a wonderful that Prabhupada explained to us, that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they are able to simultaneously find a place in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and Lord Krishna's pastimes. So by engaging in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, by distributing books, by preaching, we are actually establishing ourselves also in the pastimes of Krishna, automatically by being established in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. You don't have to independently endeavor. In fact, when someone artificially tries to, by some meditation or by some other type of concocted way, by some false imitation of the six Goswamis, thinking, well, I'll just go off and I'll just, by some reading or some meditation, I'll establish myself as one of the associates of Krishna or Vrindavan or as a Gopi Bhav or something like that. One time, Srila Rameshwar Swami had to be very strong to stop some kind of type of sajya movement like that. And we heard, got special blessings from Srila Prabhupada for rooting out different kinds of poison that can creep in. So these type of tendencies are completely unauthorized. Actually, the authorized method was given to us by Srila Prabhupada is through preaching. In fact, Prabhupada quoted this one poem of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, "My naughty mind, materialistic mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? Envious mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you?" And in the end of that, Bhaktisiddhanta describes that pranache jar, pranache tar sehitu prachar, that the reason why devotee preaches is because he has got real life, real spiritual life, and that is a symptom of being a eternal resident of Vrindavana. Vrajavashi gan pracharaka dhan. That the wealth of the eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya, of Krishna, is that they're anxious to increase Krishna's devotees. Their preaching mood is to increase the number of devotees, increase the number of fallen souls who are reinstated in Krishna's eternal relationship, in their original consciousness. That's to please Krishna. It's not for some material name, fame, position. It's purely, simply to increase the pleasure of Krishna, increasing his devotees, and as compassion to help the fallen souls who are suffering because of their forgetfulness. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada describes that anyone, you see, any pious person can come to understand Krishna. But there are four kind of demons, four kind of people who can't surrender to Krishna, those who are the mudha, foolish like an ass, the naradham, lowest of mankind, maya pratita jnana, those who have lost their intelligence to maya, and the the asura bhavam asita, those who are in the mood of the demons, who are the atheistic mood. So that is a special pastime of Lord Chaitanya, that he was able even to deliver such naradhams, such asura bhava asritas as Jagai Madai. That even though Krishna said these four kind of people are not able to surrender to me, somehow there's a hope for even those four classes of people by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. There's a hope for them, even though ordinarily they can't surrender, but by getting the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya's devotees, by getting a book on Krishna consciousness, somehow or another they're able to at least accept it from some angle or another to hold the book. Well, their spiritual life has begun. See, if they're able to contribute something, they get any of this is called sukriti. Then what does it say? Who can surrender? That person who has got sukriti. That person who has got some asset. You see, so the devotees are making their good fortune. Making their good fortune for. Most people thought, well, he's a devotee, but maybe like a little materialistic devotee. That's why, you know, someone. Yeah, just like we have a, I mean, Peter Burwash is a tennis, you know, expert, whatever, tennis pro, famous person. So Prabhupada didn't tell George Harrison that they should give up their profession to become devotees, but told rather that they should become Krishna conscious and try to utilize their influence or their position or their profession. So in the same way, Pundarik Vidyaniti could have just gave it all up, being a king. And, you know, but if you're going to be a king, you can't go around in rags. No one will understand, you know, if you're going to be a king or a big, like, that type duke or whatever, that type jamindar, then you have to also have with you a certain, you know, clout, a certain, you know. Otherwise, people just won't pay any attention. You know, you just it's part of the game. But what that most people are into it, they're really into it, they're identifying with that name, fame, with that. But the fact is, Pundarika didn't identify with it at all. It wasn't that he was attached to it in any real level, it was just that this is part of like the game he had to play, the part of the role he had to play in that social position. But his whole heart, soul, his everything was simply how to utilize everything for the service of Krishna. And his whole thing was just like Maharaj Ambarish. Maharaj Ambarish was the king. He didn't have to, you know, so he had to accept so many kingly opulences and things. So I'm just trying to first, you know, just to get the point clear on him. So your point was that if somebody comes here, they may be opulent or something like that, or they may be devotees, but we don't know it.
Well, I'm just thinking that we could make like a big mistake thinking that they're just, you know, materialistic completely and just not, you know, feminine or something.
Yeah, well, you have to. I mean, Purnadeek was chanting, was following the principles, and was. You have to see if a person is sincerely engaging, you know, otherwise in Krishna consciousness. You see. It wasn't that Purnadeek didn't have any other attachment. He had some opulence. You see. He didn't work for that opulence. He didn't go out of his way to get it. It wasn't like people say, I'm going to go get rich and then give money to Krishna. You see, it wasn't like he had to, you know, I'm going to just stop my devotional service for 10 years, get rich, and then when I get rich, I'll give all the money to Krishna. In the meantime, they get completely enwrapped in fruitive activities, and they lose their taste for devotional service, they get develop bad habits, and they go under you know, the influence of illusion. Pundarik Vidyaniti was born with the gold, with the silver, what they call born with a silver spoon. He was born into it. He was already rich. He didn't have to work, you know, a day of his life for it. It just happened. So why give it up, right? If somebody hands you $1 million, like Maharaj, just like our own Ambarish, you know, he gave us this temple. Prabhupada never said that you renounce everything and become a sannyasi. You see, that's not our philosophy. So Pundarik Vidyaniti, he didn't work, I mean, he just had it, so he didn't give it up. But even in the ordinary Vaishnavas, they had that idea that, well, this person, because he has this opulence, maybe he's a little attached. You see, that's a superficial, that's in India, they think that way. If you're not really wearing a ripped cloth or something, they think you're not a real sadhu. They don't know about yukta vairagya. They're impressed by fogu vairagya, by superficial renunciation. So opulence might be there, but then we have to see that whether, you know, where the main flow is going, if the main thing is all being used for Krishna consciousness, if the person is not having other, you know, not using their money for some other purpose, or not just, you know, neglecting the other principles of devotional service. That should be seen. A person himself should see. Sometimes people are doing business, and by regularly giving to Krishna, there's even that might be they might be less. It might be all right in the future. You might make money. You want to give a lot of money. But one should continuously be in the habit of giving to Krishna. Otherwise, you get out of the habit, and then you just start getting involved in material fruit of desire. This is mentioned very clearly in the purport on the Gundicha Marjana, where Bhakti Siddhanta mentions in the purport about this getting involved in fruit of... Even a devotee for a good intention wants to engage in some business or some material activity, but the habit of working fruitively is so strong for millions of births that we can immediately just fall into a kind of fruitive attitude. And you see, so many people, even they make money, a lot of them don't give the money to Krishna consciousness, and then they just get into trouble eventually by misinvesting it. No, well, like for instance, like Hari Vilas, who has made a very successful business in France. He's regularly contributing to printing all the Eastern European books and to so many projects. He's even given us a little contribution for printing Bengali Bhagavad Gita. And, you know, there he's regularly giving this right off the top from his... But then you see other people, even Krishna conscious devotees, they make some business. But then for some reason they don't like to give to Krishna consciousness more than tokens. Then what's the use? The Pundarik Vidyaniti was not that type of devotee that was a devotee who was putting on. That's the type of devotee that they thought he was, that he was such a devotee who was, you know, a little half devotee, had the opulence, wasn't really doing anything for Krishna. Just, I mean, because that's the way they assumed it was something like that, that he was kind of like a fringy, in our terms, you know, that he was a devotee but not of the A-class level. That was the offense that Gadadhar was making in his mind. You see. So that offense we should beware of. You're correct. We shouldn't make offense to some just because someone may have some opulence, you see, that we shouldn't become envious of that. But we should see that where if the person's main devotion and attachment is for serving Prabhupada, then we should consider that. You see. Like that, you can find blemishes in the moon. Everyone, you can find, if you want to find something to complain about, you can find something always to complain about. For some people, little opulence is a good preaching. I may be, one of the more simple people. Someone else may be more opulent. Someone else be, it's all relative. The real standard is what energy you're giving to Krishna. Where your attachment is, if that's to Krishna, to preaching Prabhupada's movement, you're giving all your energy, all your time. That's the thing we should judge. Or if a person is able to use the position, all right. But if he's instead of that is being tied down by the position, is it not attached to Krishna, then that person himself should consider, and preachers can explain to him how he should be very careful, because it is a more dangerous position, no doubt about it. Our tendency when we have some opulence is to become attached. It's a very natural tendency. And one has to be very advanced. Just like we can't imitate Pundarik Vidyanidhi, we can't imitate Ramananda Rai, we can't imitate different devotees like that, that had these special qualities. We can't even imitate the austerity of Das Raghuna. We can't imitate the opulence of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. We can't imitate the ability of Ramananda Rai to train dasis in how to dance. You can't imitate these things. These are like special opulences that different devotees had. But we can understand from them that yes, Krishna consciousness can accommodate all kinds of situations and all kinds of people. The main thing is whether you're attached to Krishna and whether that attachment is taking the form of devotional service, chanting, and appreciation of other devotees. Is that all right? Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yes? Yeah. Is he?
I was wondering what happened if a sanctified devotee took from the flesh and he got not given Krishna to himself.
Prabhupada said that's drinking the blood of the Guru. So that's the blood of the Guru.
Is that Guru?
What do you think? It's pretty obvious. Let's see. We're already, everyone's taking from Krishna. So we do devotional service to give to Krishna. That's a special facility of devotional service that we can give to Krishna. The people give us money to go to Krishna. We should see that it gets to Krishna. After that, Krishna giving us our cloth, give us our prasad, give us what we need. Prabhupada, he stressed in this point that a person gives us a donation in good faith, whether or not we give it to Krishna, he gets the credit. If he gives it with that consciousness. Now, of course, the person doesn't give it with that consciousness, then, if you give it to Krishna, he'll get an agata sukriti, which is left. But if a person gives it with the consciousness, I'm giving it to Krishna. And then, you don't give it to Krishna, it's your offense. Then, you're the breaking the link. That person will benefit, but then you'll be responsible that you didn't use it for Krishna. So we have to be careful to get everything to Krishna. And then once you get it to Krishna, then we have to manage carefully. Of course, Arago Prabhu is doing managing. And nothing gets wasted once it gets to Krishna. Srila Rameshwar Swami saying that all gets to Prabhupada in the form of DBT. And printing up so many wonderful books, helping Mayapur project, Indian projects, Prabhupada Samadhis. Hare Krishna. How is everybody?